Blog Talk Radio.
Much less detail the podcast on a Thursday night, September the 10th, 2015. I'm Dre. He's Jay. Jay not on yet, but I'm sure he'll be here shortly. The long wait is finally over. Real fucking football is back on our televisions, at least those of us that are watching NBC currently. It's at halftime. It is Patriots 14, Steelers 3, and it's real. It counts. Those two Rob Gronkowski touchdown catches from Tom Brady are counting for all you fantasy league geeks out there. And I'm sure you're all just as hyped up and geeked up as Jason and I are for real football to be back. And coming up on Sunday will be the rest of week one, Sunday, and then the traditional doubleheader Monday night. And we've got all your picks coming up here for week one, as Jason is still not loaded up yet, so I'm sure whatever Skype issues he's having, he'll eventually call in on his telephone. While I've got a second, I will let you all know that our picks will be up on the blog probably tomorrow. I don't think I'll have to put them up tonight after we make them, because I don't have to. We don't have games until Sunday. But our pick for tonight's game is up on the blog already, and our picks for week one will all be up. I forgot that Blog Talk has got a note up here that when I first logged in, it said, "We are currently experiencing an issue with the host line and guest line numbers. Our engineers are actively working to resolve this issue. Please watch for updates." Now, me getting in on the host line on Skype with no problem here, as you can hear, I assume that my co-host Jason will be fine getting in on the guest line because he's on Skype as well. But that obviously is not the case. He is not up yet, and don't know when he's going to be able to get up. If he can't get in on the phone line and he's got Skype problems as well, then I might be doing this thing solo tonight. That is frightening. But our blog site for our picks, after I do get a hold of Jason and get his picks, if it's not going to happen on this show, eventually I'll get a hold of him and get his picks, believe me. Our website for our blog is inmuchlessdetail.blogspot.com. You can always contact me on Twitter at IMLDDre. You can contact Jason at IMLDJTG. You can email us. You would send that to inmuchlessdetail@gmail.com. And you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, the Apple apps, and all of that. Just search for In Much Less Detail, the podcast. And you're listening to this live right now. The only place you can listen to the show live is at the following website, blogtalkradio.com/inmuchlessdetail. And I'm really upset that Jason's not able to get on, because we had a new twist that we were going to introduce for this year's picks that I wanted to have, of course, my partner here to help introduce with me and help explain it. Still waiting for him to get on. I'll explain it myself while I'm waiting for him to figure out a way to get on this show. We were going to institute a lock of the week, where each one of us picks a game against the spread that we love so much that we're going to make it our lock of the week. And the little scoring plan that we decided to come up with is, of course, as you know, if you are followers of us and our scoring system for keeping up with picks, at the end of the year, we have our little playoff system where we convert our percentages for the regular season into a certain point amount and then go from there picking the playoff games And whoever has the most points at the end of the playoffs, at the end of the Super Bowl, is the champion for the season. And what we're going to do is we're going to keep track of the record for our locks of the week as separate from the regular picks. And simply whoever had the better record on locks at the end of the season, whoever had the most correct lock picks, was going to earn an extra playoff point before the playoffs even begin. When we convert our regular season percentages into the playoff points, whoever has the most correct locks of the week, counting up the 17 locks that we each are going to have for the season, would get an extra point to start the playoff system off with. And that point can be very, very, very valuable because, as you know, again, if you've been following and listening along, that Super Bowl seems to be everything on the line. It seems to always break down that whoever wins the Super Bowl pick wins the game, and if you start off the playoff with an extra point, then that can make a big difference. So, Jason's still not up. It is looking more and more and more like this is going to be just me tonight, because I don't know what is going on with Blog Talk Radio, and I just talked to Jason on the phone. So this isn't where Jason had family issues and ran out and isn't able to make the show. I literally just talked to him on the phone 10 minutes before the show went live because we figured out what our we discussed that new playoff system, of course, and we also figured out what our picks were going to be for this week, the highlight picks. And Jason is just texting me just now saying it won't let me in on Skype or the phone. That is a problem. So I'm going to text him back now, telling him about this message that Blog Talk Radio has up. Because I don't know if there's anything else I can do. There's a message up saying that they're having technical difficulties. And that's just something that's something we're going to have to deal with. There's nothing I can really do about that. So this is 1 hour live of just me. This is probably your worst nightmare, but that's how it goes. So, of course, our phone number, if you're listening live, up there on the top of your screen is the guest number to call in and help me out, which is probably not going to work because my co-host can't call in, so why would you be able to? But anyway, if the technical issue gets resolved and you're able to call in, you can try. And maybe you'll get lucky and get in. Maybe they'll fix it right when you try to call in. If you try to do that, that guest number is, as always, area code 646-595-4534. Jason's asking, are we on the air? I think I am. But I can't say for sure until, I go back and listen to the podcast after we're done. But it sure looks like I'm on the air. So I guess I'm just going to go right on ahead and do this all by myself, but I can't do it with Jason's picks because I don't have his picks. So I'm going to have to do this using only my picks. And I guess the one good thing about this is I won't be quite as rushed in all the little points that I wanted to get in here because I've got all the space in the world to get all of my points in. So, boy, this is going to be one unusual show here. I guess I can also say for sure that on the after show, I'll definitely be getting to some things I wanted to talk about that we have not had a chance to get to on all of the past shows. We've been very football intense lately, of course. The last show we had was the NFL preview. The show before that was with Football Fan Rush Radio. I want to thank them for their time. That was a very fun show. But of course, all the other things that have been happening in the world, in my world and in the world in general, that we have not been able to get to on the after show because we've been talking so much football lately. But I definitely will have the time to get to it after this live show goes off the air. And by the way, you can only listen to the after show. Once this 1 hour live show is off the air, you can only listen to the after show by subscribing to the show on iTunes or by coming back to the live show page after I finished the live show and the after show and looking up this show under our archive tab where all 130-something shows that we've done are listed under our archive tab. I'm still texting back and forth with Jason here, who's still texting me, telling me the Skype and the phone just ringing and disconnect them. And the only thing I can think to say is keep trying. Yep, so without further ado, I guess I'll get right to it. The first game that we had chosen as our highlight game is going to be the Indianapolis Colts and the Buffalo Bills. And that is Andrew Luck and the top passing offense in the NFL from last year, visiting Rex Ryan and what was already one of the top defenses in the NFL last season. And now the new coach, Rex Ryan, the defensive guru, takes over the Buffalo Bills, leaves the New York Jets, stays in division, moves over to Buffalo. But he moves out of state. He moves from New York to New Jersey, technically, when you think about where they actually play their football games. But in any event, the offensive-minded, defensive-struggling Indianapolis Colts going on the road and giving a defensive test against the defensive-minded Buffalo Bills, who you think are going to struggle on offense with this Tyrod Taylor guy at quarterback. Still a very curious choice by Rex Ryan to choose Tyrod Taylor as the man to quarterback his team over E.J. Manuel, who, whatever you think about E.J. Manuel and his play the last couple of years, you got to think that he's better suited and more talented than Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor has been in the league longer and has shown diddly squat. Now, E.J. Manuel hasn't shown a whole lot, but he's sure shown a lot more than Tyrod Taylor has in his limited action all with the Baltimore Ravens before this year joining the Buffalo Bills. But whatever happened in preseason and training camp, Rex Ryan has made his decision. He wants Tyrod Taylor as his quarterback. The consensus for most football experts seems to be that Tyrod Taylor is going to add a big-time running and scrambling element that E.J. Manuel does not add because he's not very fast despite being a black quarterback. But what he adds in that respect, he's going to take away from because he's not nearly as polished at actual quarterback skills as E.J. Manuel and actual throwing ability. So there you have it. It's the new stud running back who might have turned the corner on his career, might already be headed downhill, LeSean McCoy for the Buffalo Bills, and he gets to step into a situation where he's the man. They are going to have to ride him and rely on LeSean McCoy if they want to get any offense accomplished, because unless Tyrod Taylor has this connection with Sammy Watkins that they cannot be stopped, Buffalo's going to have a lot of trouble moving the football up and down the field. What makes this game interesting is that they play a defense in the Indianapolis Colts that has trouble stopping people from going up and down the field. So maybe the Bills have some good times ahead. Maybe Sunday is actually brighter offensively than they think. And the Colts will bring in their own revamped running game. It's old man Frank Gore. You talk about guys who might be on the other side of the hill. Frank Gore certainly has seen better days. We've seen him in San Francisco slowly get to the point where he can't break off and finish off a long-distance run with open field. He always gets caught from behind. Year after year after year, he gets a step slower and a step slower. But he's remained effective. So you think he steps in here with a real quarterback in Andrew Luck instead of Colin Kaepernick, and you would think just off of that, he should have room to operate and still be effective. So we will have to wait and see how that works out. And he'll be running up against a Buffalo rush defense. Jason is now texting. He wants to reschedule the show. He thinks there's been dead air. He thinks there's been 15 dead minutes. I don't have a way to know if we're actually live, if I'm actually talking, if this is actually picking up. I guess I have to ask him to turn on the website. But either way, I guess that's a good idea. I don't have to go an hour by myself. I could just stop this and reschedule. So I just texted him, turn on the site, can you hear me? So I need him to go to the actual site and listen to see if I'm actually going out over the air, because I think I am. But what I will do is finish off this Indy Buffalo pick, and then I guess I'll end it and call it a show and see if we can reschedule. The problem with that being Jason says he's going out of town this weekend, so there's I don't know when we would reschedule. Later tonight it would not be a problem for me, but this issue probably won't be resolved. The Blog Talk Radio issue of connectivity probably won't be resolved. Okay, well, he can hear. he just texted back that he can hear me, so the show's going. But yeah, like I said, I have no idea when we would reschedule. Hey, Jason, if you're listening, text me back and let me know when we would reschedule, because you say you're out of town the whole weekend. And if we were scheduled tonight, this issue might not be resolved, so it might not make a difference. So I don't know exactly how we're going to resolve this. So the Indy Buffalo game, the point spread is Indianapolis is a 2.5-point favorite on the road at Buffalo. Seems like a small number. You think about Buffalo starting some completely unproven veteran with very limited experience in the NFL against what should be one of the highest rated offenses in the league, the Indianapolis Colts. That's a lot of praise and faith in Rex Ryan's defense if you're going to make Indy only a 2.5-point favorite at Buffalo. So I'm going to take the Indianapolis Colts to cover that and win probably by double digits, because whatever energy Buffalo comes out with on defense, say what's the best case scenario? Say they hold Andrew Luck and the Colts to like 3 or 6 points in the first half. I don't know if I trust that to hold up over the entire game. As fierce as Buffalo can be rushing the passer, as much punishment as they could put on Andrew Luck potentially, I just think that he's too good. I think his Oh, Jason's up.
Like, I've been sitting here for a couple minutes now listening to you.
Oh, hey, there you are.
So I'm thinking here. We could, if it's safe. Here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna leave. I'm gonna try to come back in again. And if it works again, I would say just end the show. And what's the fastest you can reschedule a new show?
I hate to say it. I don't think I can reschedule today. I think they only let you schedule once a day.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I think that's what the deal is with that. But you're in now, so we can just do it. Let's go.
Okay. Well, we'll do the abridged version of the show then.
Right.
Not. And I think it's nice, because usually the technical difficulties are either mine or yours.
This is not
this
yours
is
or
not
mine.
On
this
us.
Is Blog Talk Radio.
No.
They had a message up there as soon as I got in. They had technical issues. So.
Yeah. It was interesting trying to get in, because as soon as I had clicked the button to try to get back into the show again on my Skype, you had tried to send me a message through the radio.
Yeah.
You started a sentence that said, Jason, if you're listening, and then I clicked. I was like, oh, no. As soon as I clicked that, it stopped the audio. So I was like, great. So there's a message that I'm never going to get. I'm sure that was 20 minutes of scintillating radio.
20 minutes of me sweating, absolutely.
Yeah. I'll have to go back and listen to that.
Yeah.
No, you were definitely you were doing it live.
I'll just do it live.
Yeah, so let's maybe did you explain our locks of the week?
I did. I did explain that whole thing. Yes.
Okay. Let's see what we have. 40 minutes to do 15 games. looks like we're both going to be sitting at 0-1 for the season, and the Steelers are going to need a new kicker. That's all I've taken so far away from tonight.
Another one? This is their third one of the season already.
Well, you know how kickers are.
Yeah.
They can
be fickle.
Yeah. Guy goes out there and misses a couple field goals, especially if it's at critical junctures of a game. That guy's off the team. That guy's on the wire. So,
all right. I had started our first highlight game, Colts and Bills. So what you got?
Oh, I got the Colts. I mean, this is, I understand the reason that this is a highlight game with Rex Ryan going up to Buffalo, and Buffalo was a pretty good team last year. I mean, they really were just missing that quarterback piece. And I think they may have downgraded. I mean, wow. I mean, Kyle Orton almost got them to the playoffs, and they think that the answer is Tyrod Taylor. Now, I understand that Rex Ryan might think he's some guru because he got Mark Sanchez to a AFC title game back-to-back years, but that was on the back of a pretty stellar defense. Now, Buffalo does have a very good defense. But if you're going to get me to take the Bills over the Colts, and it's a low spread. I mean, what are we talking here, 2.5?
Well, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, 2.5 points for the Colts. There's no way in any scenario that I can dream up in my head that I can anticipate Tyrod Taylor staying within 3 points of Andrew Luck in that offense. Now, the Colts still can't run the ball. Frank Gore is not the answer. But as long as Andrew Luck is back there, this is my Super Bowl team. As long as Andrew Luck's back there slinging it, he has got the receivers, the tight end. He's a big guy. He's hard to bring down. Yeah, Buffalo may hang with these guys and may even keep it a lower scoring game. But they're going to have to keep the Colts under 14, I think, to win this game, and that's just not going to happen. So I like the Colts here. Bush.
Yep, I concur with you. Frank Gore might not be the answer, but when you get to face Buffalo without defensive tackle Marcel Darius, who's suspended, I think that's a big help. Buffalo's already a little beat up as well. Not just him, but Percy Harvin's got a hip injury. Yeah. He might not be 100%. Shady McCoy has got a hamstring. The oldest McKelvin, the DB, is on the PUP list. I don't know what Rex Ryan was doing to the Bills in training camp, but he's already got them in week 8 form as far as their injury list goes.
And we talked about it this in the preseason pick show that we just did last week, but the preview show was, yeah, Frank Gore might not be the answer, but he's an upgrade over whatever garbage, Boom Heron. And Trent Richardson.
And
I mean, at least Frank Gore is a legitimate pro.
Right.
So yeah, I think I don't think we need to overdo. We both got the Colts and Colts big.
Now the board doesn't want to work. There we go. One of those nights, folks.
We're getting our $20 worth.
Lions and Chargers. One of those kind of strange inter-conference matchups of two teams that are pretty solid. One just missing the playoffs and the other getting in and having some really bad luck once they got there. This is my Super Bowl team, the Detroit Lions, so I will start out on this pick. The Lions are a 3-point underdog going into San Diego, the old pussy line there, home team -3. I understand that. San Diego's solid.
We got a lot of those this week, by the way. We got a lot of 3-point lines this week.
We sure do. But Detroit, I I'm not saying I think they're going to go into San Diego and kill them, but this is my Super Bowl team. I do think they're a notch above solid, and I'm going to pick them to go in and beat the Chargers and get a early road victory. They're going to be without DeAndre Levy, their tackle linebacker, their tackle machine linebacker, so that would be a big hit against them. But this is a point that I liked, why I like the Lions anyway, is because they're playing a team in San Diego, they're not going to need a tackle machine linebacker because San Diego can't run the football. And Melvin Gordon, as the rookie, the new sensation, the answer at running back, well, I'll make him prove it to me. He might do so, but I'm not going to put too much trust in him. I'm going to make him go out and show me what he's got. The tight end situation for the Chargers is a mess. Antonio Gates, of course, suspended, and his heir apparent, Ladarius Green, has got a concussion. So that's a big deal because Phillip Rivers does rely on tight ends to loosen up the passing attack and loosen up the opposing defense. He's not going to have that option this time, so he's going to have to rely on his receivers. Stat I came across for San Diego, only 7 defensive interceptions last year. They had a pretty good pass defense, but they just made a lot of plays on the ball. They didn't really take it away very much, and I don't think that's going to be quite enough against Matthew Stafford and Megatron and Golden Tate. I think the Lions will find a way to come through, maybe towards the end on a late touchdown drive, and knock off the San Diego Chargers.
Well, we get to disagree here for the first time this year. I like the Chargers here as the home team to get the win. The Lions, I talked about my little bit of hate for the Lions this year in our preview, but I'm not too fond of their lack of a running attack. Generally, on the road, you got to be able to move the ball on the ground a little bit. You're taking the dome team and you're putting them on grass, sending them out west. Just a lot of ingredients here. And we'll see. We had a lot of teams that were bad outs in the NFC last year as far as the playoffs go. And we'll see how hungry these teams are coming out, or if these teams are feeling any lingering effects of that bitter taste that they were all left with. So I like the Chargers. I actually like the direction of the Chargers. I have them as one of my playoff teams this year, so I don't like this as an easy spot for the Lions. And, yeah, the Chargers, they had a top 10 defense last year, another little bit of an underrated situation, 9-7 last year. Good team, looking to take that next step. Yeah, the tight end won't be there with Gates, but Rivers just got the big contract. He's got to go out there and earn it. And I don't think the Lions, they lost some parts on defense, either through injuries right now, and then with Sue leaving and going to Miami, I think is huge. So we'll see if they're even able to get that push up front. So for week one here, although I don't hate the Lions this year, I don't like them in this spot.
Well, yeah, we'll definitely agree on that. Another factor is I want to see if Detroit winds up having a better running back, the better rookie running back out of these two teams, because I think most people see Melvin Gordon coming in and think that he's going to put on a show. On the other side, I think maybe Ameer Abdullah might get his chance to shine early on, and he might actually be the X factor for the Lions.
Yeah, and we'll see how long they decide to run it out Joique Bell before they finally decide. You know, because this could happen, though. We talked about this last with the teams last year where it started out, you know, in Cincinnati. That was probably the biggest one where it hurt them early, not taking snaps away from Giovanni Bernard. Doesn't take much early to hurt you. And maybe they figure this out long-term, who the answer is at running back. But in week one, you know, everyone, there's always that stubbornness with the depth chart. So I think that's going against them this week here, too.
All right, let's keep it moving on to the Baltimore Ravens and the Denver Broncos. And everyone has their opinion of Peyton Manning and the Broncos. What are they going to be this year? They could be back up, readjusting and finding a new way to get the job done. They might be way down, and some people say out of the playoffs, perhaps. I believe my co-host would be one of those people.
That was me.
As far as the point spread goes, the public says Baltimore is a 4-point underdog with their newfangled offense under Mark Trestman going into the Denver Broncos. Jason, what's your pick?
Interesting, because I've had pretty good luck picking Baltimore at Denver. If we go back, by giving you.
There's my Pepto-Bismol.
Was that the Trindon Holiday game?
It was.
I'm gonna I'm going to take the Ravens. This encapsulates perfectly what we were talking about in the preview. We look at both of these teams. This is the perfect matchup after the discussions that we had last week, because we both see the Ravens and the Broncos as in totally different ways. And it'd be interesting to see, because I have a feeling we're going to differ here, but I might be wrong. But just already in week one, we get to put to the test what we saw or what we think we're going to see with these teams, where I just think Peyton Manning is just done. Maybe he starts off hot and fast, and they rely on that core group of players around him. But he can't push the ball down the field. And this isn't like what we're watching with Brady, where everything is just timing, you know, and everything's just out on time and the guy's just at the spot. Manning just doesn't have the zip. And I don't know if it's the ego that we saw from him in the playoffs, where he kept trying to throw that ball over the top and he just couldn't get it done. But I lost a lot of faith in his ability to go out and beat the good teams. And Baltimore's a good team. But we differ completely on this. So I have the Ravens winning that division and the Broncos out of the playoffs. And I think you had it the flip side. So I'll take the Ravens in the four. Hopefully four is a gift. Because I don't necessarily need the Ravens to win here, although I think they will.
No, you're right. I did have the Ravens out of the playoffs and Denver winning their division, so definitely a complete flip side there. And I will also stick to, Roethlisberger's limping around out there. That's sort of nothing new, but I will stick to my guns as well and take Denver and give the 4 points. That rag arm that Peyton has still went 8-0 at home last year. I kind of am with you in one respect, that it's almost unbelievable when you look at how he threw in the playoffs last year. How did he do it? How did he have any kind of success in the regular season with his rag arm breaking down like that? And I took the lesson away from that, and I said it at the time, I can no longer pick him to win another Super Bowl. If his arm is going to degrade like that when playoff time comes, as it has two of the 3 years that he's been in Denver, his arm has just not been there once the playoffs started. But for the regular season at the beginning, this is when he's going to be feeling his best right now. And that's when I'm going to go on the Bronco bandwagon and pick Peyton Manning and the Broncos. Might not stay on there forever. Might not pick them to go 12-4 or 13-3, but still think they're going to be good enough to find a way to be at the top of that division at the end of the year. As far as this particular game goes, I talked about Baltimore's offense under Mark Trestman should be more checkdowns, run to the running back, throws to the running back, short throws, medium throws, a lot more work for Joe Flacco. I don't think this is a good defense to get a lot more throwing work in, because Denver can get after you and punish the passer if he stands back there in the pocket and tries to make too many throws. And also, this is Baltimore's first game with a little bit of a revamped receiving core. As I said on our preview show, no more Torrey Smith. It's basically Steve Smith and a bunch of guys you never heard of. And they're going to have the rookie Breshad Perriman eventually, but they won't have him for this game. So I think that adds up to a little bit of a struggle with a new offense. I think Denver, with their newfangled offense, a lot more relying on C.J. Anderson instead of trying to have Peyton Manning throw 50 times a game. Baltimore's run defense might be ripe for getting run on now that Haloti Ngata is not in the middle. And I'm going to take Denver to come through and cover the number and open up the season with a big win.
Yeah, this is probably one of the ones I'll be keeping my eye on the most. We can disagree on as many games, you know. I mean, we're going to disagree on a lot of games through the season, but this is one that's just got those just stakes, because I don't think we saw two teams more deadly than we did the Ravens and the Broncos.
Right.
I mean, this is really going to be informative. And wouldn't it be ironic if this was a push? So it would tell us nothing.
Right, exactly.
I mean, other than the fact that Baltimore is can get beat by four to, you know, in a tough spot. And I give you that this is a tough spot. But Baltimore knows how to come up big here, so watch out. There's a little history here. Just want to put that back in your brain again.
No, I don't want to think about it. By the way, before I go to the final highlight game, whatever your lock of the week is, we haven't come across it yet, have we?
No, we have not.
Okay, because when we do, we'll just say, by the way, this is my lock of the week. And
yeah.
Instead of, you know, if I remember, I might forget to do it myself. But yeah,
no, I'm still squarely nowhere near my lock of the week.
Although I think I know what it's going to be anyway, but we'll see.
We'll see.
All right, our last highlight game of the week will be Sunday Night Football. Get your clickers ready. This should be a points bonanza between the New York Giants and the Dallas Cowboys. I talked on the previous show about the NFC East and how they specifically have collectively, by a mile, the worst pass defenses by the numbers in football. Every year they just beat up on each other and light up the sky against each other, and this should be no different. Eli Manning gets a full year of Odell Beckham Jr., but he won't have Victor Cruz for this game. Dallas and Tony Romo, who just keeps on ticking, putting together, quite frankly, and so many people hate him, they're not going to want to hear this, one of the greatest undrafted free agent quarterback careers in the history of football, because this guy out of Eastern Illinois that nobody thought was going to make much of anything of himself just keeps on keeping on every year, and it doesn't hurt to have Dez Bryant in your corner. The Giants are one of the biggest point spreads of the week. They are a 6-point underdog at Dallas, and that seems to be a hell of a lot of points to give the Giants with Eli Manning and Odell Beckham against any team, much less a division opponent where you know they're going to come in fired up and ready to go. And yet, I'm going to give the 6 points and take the Dallas Cowboys to win by double digits. And the reason I'm going to do that is because, like I said, no Victor Cruz for the Giants makes me think that it's going to be all Odell all the time. And even the Cowboys got to be smart enough to figure that out and send multiple coverages his way and try to tamp that down at least a little bit. And also, I just like the fact that Dallas made their decision at running back over the offseason to let DeMarco Murray, in that awesome season that he had, let him walk away. And they did that, of course, to free up money to re-sign Dez Bryant. But they also did it because they're putting their faith in their offensive line, and they're going to put whoever wants to get behind that line, whatever running back wants to take the initiative to get behind that offensive line and produce for them. Joseph Randle will get the first crack at it. 91-year-old, I'm blanking on his name, the old guy.
Darren McFadden.
The former Raider, Darren McFadden, will get the next shot at it.
Who are you calling 91?
Oh, man, you know, no kidding. You know how old I am, Jason? You know what name I was about to call out? When I'm thinking old running back and former Raider, you know what I was about to say? I was about to say Tyrone Wheatley.
Oh, my God.
The cobwebs in my head are just...
Wow. Tyrone Wheatley with Bo Jackson?
I don't know why Tyrone Wheatley's name popped up in my head. Yeah.
Although behind that line, Tyrone Wheatley could probably get 3.5 yards a carry.
Today, yeah.
Today, yeah.
Bo Jackson could, too. But I guess I have faith in the Dallas offensive line. Whoever they choose to run back there will help open up the offense. And we know what Tony Romo is going to do with an open-up offense. He's probably going to throw for 300 yards again. And I just like Dallas to come through in this spot. Jason Pierre-Paul finally got his hand examined by the Giants. Guess what? He can't play. He blew fingers off. We all knew that. But because he wouldn't let the Giants examine him, they couldn't officially say that until the doctors finally got a look at it. And they got a look at it and figured out that, yeah, he's not going to be playing football anytime soon. And don't underestimate that loss for an already depleted and beaten-up Giants defense. I'll take the Cowboys in this one.
No, I'm going to go with the Giants. I just think that 6 is too much. While I agree that the Cowboys may still end up winning the game, the Giants are healthy. Rashad Jennings is a good running back. His problem isn't his quality on the field, is probably his being on the field, and he's ready to go. The offense last year, as soon as Odell Beckham just came on the scene with that team, totally different team. And I think it'll be enough that they can kind of go tit for tat with the Cowboys here and keep it within the six. So I'm gonna actually take the number. Wouldn't be surprised if the Giants won. I actually have them as a bit of a surprise pick to win that division. Because that division's going to be a journey, isn't it? I mean, that is one interesting division out of all the divisions in football, just with the Eagles and what we know their dynamic is, and then the Cowboys and all the changes that they made. I agree with what you said technically on the whole situation with them getting rid of DeMarco Murray. Needless to say, though, I think they still downgraded the position. While they did the correct franchise thing, they did the right thing. If you were running a team on Madden, you know, and you had to free up, you know, they're doing the right thing as far as business, but I don't think it's necessarily going to translate into production on the field. So I'm still a little skeptical about that situation. They could prove me wrong and make a believer out of me. We'll see. But for this game, want to see a little bit more, especially I think I'm a little bit more down on the Cowboys than I am the Giants going into this year. And I will take the Giants to at least cover the six.
Dallas with some linebackers sitting on the sidelines for this one. Greg Hardy and Rolando McClain suspended for this game, but it's okay because the great Sean Lee will be back in there.
Yeah,
and he'll have
course.
Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels there in the booth to slobber his knob all night long.
So do we want to place any bets on whether or not Sean Lee makes it through the game? Because he is he's a walking injury waiting to happen.
I wouldn't dare say that he's – ooh, what a catch. I wouldn't dare put any money on him making it through the game. But
you are referring to the Marcus Wheaton grab.
Yes.
Tiptoes on the sidelines. Very nice play. Actually, I thought that ball was picked. And really nice. So folks who are listening to this not live – watch the Ben Roethlisberger highlight to Marcus Wheaton, because that'll be all over SportsCenter.
Yep, I can hear the music already. Da-na-na, that was one of those catches.
That'll be in the top 10.
All right, on to the rest of week one.
In much less detail.
In even more less detail. Starting with the Packers and the Bears in the renewal of course, what we think from the Midwest would be the greatest rivalry in the history of the NFL, although I shouldn't speak for you. Maybe you don't think that way, but it's always great when the Packers and Bears get together, but for one of these teams, it might not be so great. I'm guessing this will be your lock, but maybe I'll be wrong.
This is absolutely my lock of the week. Packers squish. Packers, I believe it's -6.5 here.
That's right, giving 6.5.
It's not enough. Jay Cutler, I saw the stat today, 1-11 against the Packers. And the Packers were one of the two teams last year to hang the 50 on the Bears as well. And, yeah, the absence of Jordy Nelson, I don't care. It doesn't matter. Rodgers is going to be throwing the ball all over the yard. Eddie Lacy is going to abuse that Bears' lack of run D. I hate to call it run defense because it's more of a lack of run defense. Packers squish, lock it down.
This is not my lock. I will also take Green Bay and give the 6.5. You've talked very much about how you don't think Jordy Nelson's absence will affect Green Bay in the long run. And as I kind of explained on the last show, overall against most other NFL defenses, I think it is going to make a bit of a difference. Not against the Bears. They don't need
Jordy. Yeah, the Bears have trouble going deep at corner. I mean,
they don't need Jordy Nelson out there to torch the Bears. Whoever is on the other side of the field is going to torch the Bears because that's just what happens against the Chicago Bears passing game. They just find a way to leave guys wide open. And then on top of that, in run defense, as you already said, the Bears don't have much of a run defense. But they got some surprising production at nose tackle out of Jay Ratliff last year. And now he's suspended. He won't be there. And then his replacement would be rookie Eddie Goldman. He's got a concussion. He might not be able to play. So in addition to what they're going to do in the air, they get to have some success on the ground as well. and that's just too much offense for the Bears to deal with. So, unfortunately, my Chicago Bears are going to go down and go down hard.
Squish.
In the
so
very
wait, there's
first
something. There's something that you feel more strongly about this week, so I'm interested.
And I surprised myself when I decided on it. Believe me, I did not think I was going to go that direction. But we'll come up to it later.
Yeah. But if you're in just a straight up pick the winner eliminator league, take the Packers this week.
That would seem to be a very safe bet. Kansas City at Houston in a battle of offenses that might be a little challenged. It's a 1-point spread. Kansas City is plus one whole point at the Houston Texans. Jason, what's your pick?
I was absolutely stunned that the Texans are giving anything this week. So, yeah, I always talk about the gift pick or the gift line. This is the gift. Give me the Chiefs. We talked at length about Brian Hoyer and the horrible situation he's in, where the better quarterback for that team is probably sitting on the bench to start the season. The guy who actually gave them some spark. Yeah, don't play him. Yeah, let's get Brian Hoyer. The Chiefs. Yes, Alex Smith doesn't throw any touchdown to wide receivers. I think it's going to happen in this game. But I think they are just going to just do it just to get it over with. They're just going to be forcing the ball to the wideouts in this game just so nobody has to hear about that anymore. But yeah, the Chiefs here. Yeah, I love the Texans D. Love J.J. Watt. Whatever. It's not going to be enough because they're not going to be able to score enough.
Get Jeremy Maclin in the end zone immediately. That's what I will be doing. I concur. I don't think there's going to be hardly any points scored in this game at all. So this is not definite. This is not a Chiefs rout or squish or anything like that. I just look at Houston with Brian Hoyer at quarterback and no Arian Foster at running back, and I don't know how they're going to break double digits. I think they're going to get maybe 9 points, and the Chiefs can. The Chiefs aren't a juggernaut offensively, but they can get more than 9 points, I think. I guess we'll find out. I was joking about being worried about Dontari Poe not being able to go, my Memphis guy, but he might actually make the game. So he might make all the difference in the world, or not. Maybe I'm just bullshitting. But yeah, I'll take the Chiefs, but I don't feel great about that one. Cleveland and the Jets might also be point challenged. Cleveland is a 3.5 point underdog at the New York Jets with Todd Bowles as their new head coach.
Yeah, the hook's a little bit scary, but I have absolutely zero faith in Cleveland at all this year, so no Brown fever. This is one of the few games this year where the Jets will field the better quarterback and the better offense. So, yeah, give me the call up. The Colts. Oh my God. Give me the Jets here.
I concur. This is one of the rare games where they should have. But Cleveland, I think, is the worst quarterback situation in all of football. I mean, that's just terrible.
The perfect landing spot if you're the Jets and Todd Bowles, right?
This is a great week one, to start.
At New England or something like that. This is great if you want to get a new coach some confidence.
Against the worst quarterback situation and maybe one of the worst running back tandems in the entire league. This is exactly how you want to start off if you're Todd Bowles. Even Brandon Marshall can't ruin this game, I don't think.
Not yet.
But yeah, not yet. He will eventually ruin the entire season, but maybe not right off the bat. I'll take the Jets and give it a 3.5, and I don't think it's going to be particularly close, although that's still not my lock of the week. The Fish and the Skins, Miami at Washington, that's another sort of weird inter-conference matchup. Miami, of course, 8-8 last year, and people think they're about ready to ascend. And Washington, just a complete joke from the top down, just as bad an organization as there is in all of football. And so no surprise, Miami is a 3.5-point favorite, giving 3.5 at Washington.
Yeah, I love the Dolphins here. You just said it. The Redskins are a joke. I think this is the beginning of the Dolphins' ascent towards a really good season, a playoff season. They get, and again, we would talk about soft landings. Here you go. Dolphin squish.
Yeah, I concur again. I'm getting very worried about this. It's a lot of agreements on our sides here. But yeah, the Washington Redskins, until they get some sort of organization about themselves, I can't pick them. I don't know if I can pick them anytime soon, because it's so clear that the coach, Jay Gruden, did not want Robert Griffin III as his quarterback ever again, no matter whether he merited getting the starts or not. I remember being slightly impressed his rookie year with Kirk Cousins when he had to come in some injury replacement situations, but ever since then, he has been about as unimpressive as Robert Griffin III. So when Gruden sits there and says, I'm starting Kirk Cousins because he has proven to deserve it, I have to laugh. That's hilarious. Kirk Cousins, in what game did he prove that he deserved to be the starting quarterback of your team? You're doing this because you don't like RG3. It's just that simple, and you don't have the balls to come out and say it. Washington's always funny defense. We talked about the NFC East terrible defense. How hilarious is it that they add Junior Gallette to their defense through some crazy shenanigans in the offseason, then he already is out for the year with a torn Achilles tendon. That's the end of that.
Oh, boy.
The Panthers and the Jaguars, Carolina on the road gives 3 at the always snickered at, speaking of jokes, Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, I hate to fall into the trap that you have fallen into the last few years, and that's taking the Jags early. I'm taking the Jags to win this game. I mean, the Carolina Panthers were a crap division winner last year. It's not like this is a juggernaut team going into Jacksonville here, and this is year two. Let's see if Blake Bortles gets any better. They got the rookie running back. They got absolutely nothing at wide receiver. They have a surprisingly underrated defense for a really bad team, which is usually, you always end up with that. You know, where you have the team with, usually the defense ends up looking bad statistically because the offense was so bad. But overall, that's not just a horrible squad. That's a squad that's always covering up for the deficiencies of the offense. The offense gets a little better. That will make the defense a little better, and I think it's enough here for them to upset the Panthers.
I'm going to use the injury report to justify me taking Carolina and giving the 3 points. You shouldn't have this type of situation on your injury report already. The Jacksonville defensive line is already, before they've played a game, a complete fucking mess. Sindarik Marks will not play. Andre Branch will not play. Ziggy Hood is on IR. He's out for the year. Hey, we sucked last year, so we can get this number 3 overall pick, and let's use it on this stud defensive tackle, Dante Fowler, and let's get him in here. And oh my God, he fucked himself up before we even started training camp, and he's on IR. They are going to be a mess up front on that defense, and I think Carolina is just the right team with their problems at wide receiver to come in and rely on the run, and I think they're going to run for about 200 yards as a team, and I think they're going to steamroll the Jaguars.
We'll see. All right.
The Seattle Seahawks, the St. Louis Rams. Seattle starts their campaign to get over that horrible, horrible ending to the Super Bowl last year. They have to go on the road to a St. Louis team that seems to give them fits. Seattle, meanwhile, is a 4-point favorite on the road at St. Louis.
And yeah, the Rams, they always play these guys tough. This is like the Bills and the Patriots, although it doesn't always necessarily show up in the score. It's always a tough game. It's a physical game. I don't think this is necessarily where the Seahawks want to start their season. This is sort of a new-look Rams team. They've got Nick Foles back there. We'll see how he can sling it around. I am looking for the Rams to spring the upset here and get away with a win. So I'm taking the Rams straight.
I will be taking the Seattle Seahawks and giving the points, and I guess I'm referring to the injury report again on this one, because when the Rams come in with no running attack at all, there's another rookie that gets drafted and can't make the field. Todd Gurley will not be playing. Trey Mason's a game-time decision, so they might be relying on Benny Cunningham to run the football against Seattle. That's not going to go well, and then there's no balance. That leaves Nick Foles trying to throw all day against Seattle, and I don't think that's going to go well. And on the other side of the football, I think Russell Wilson's going to light up the Rams secondary, because they don't have too many guys back there at cornerback, and they lost their best cornerback, E.J. Gaines, to injury. I remember Janoris Jenkins used to be good, but something happened last year. He was getting toasted. I think this is a perfect time and a perfect chance for Russell Wilson to get some big plays through the air. The New Orleans Saints and the Arizona Cardinals – Will Drew Brees' demise continue, or will he bounce back? He's got a tough road test. Saints are 2.5-point underdogs at Arizona.
Well, the one thing that doesn't change is that New Orleans just has an absolute shit defense, and that Carson Palmer, when he was at the helm in Arizona, that team was scoring 28 points a game, and then when he got injured, it scored 12 points a game. Well, he's healthy, and that Cardinals defense should be able to keep the Saints under 30. I happen to take the Cardinals here to hold serve.
I concur, and again, with injuries, the already bad Saints defense, they won't have Keenan Lewis or Jarius Byrd in the defensive backfield, so Carson Palmer can step right in and start lighting the Saints up. Yeah,
light them up.
Like the Saints like to get lit up, so I concur with that one. The Detroit and San Diego, that's our highlight game. Tennessee, I'm still a little flustered here. Tennessee and Tampa Bay from the beginning of that show. Good grief, that was crazy. So the rookie quarterbacks, the top two picks in the league, gets to face off against each other. How crazy is that? Titans are a 3-point dog pussy line at the Buccaneers.
Yeah, and we can already just go straight out and apologize. This is most likely going to bleed over into the after show.
Probably.
Yeah. So
no, we got 4 games in 4 minutes. So
Wait, for the sake of brevity. Hey, do you smell that? Do you know what I'm smelling?
Pushy.
I'm smelling pushy. That's right. Everyone loves that smell. yeah, I'm gonna take Tampa Bay with the cop out line. Just what the hell?
I told you about watching. Jameis Winston, I almost called him Jamarcus Russell. Jameis Winston in the preseason, and he actually looked a little competent. And until I see Marcus Mariota look competent behind what might be the worst team in football, the Tennessee Titans, I'm going to take Tampa Bay. And I don't smell pushy; I smell a lock of the week.
I've got
the Buccaneers -3 as my lock. Because that's how bad I think Tennessee is.
I like how you're going bold here, because that's also a lock of the week with the spread.
Giving the 3, that's right.
So if this game's a push and the Packers squish the Bears, I'm coming out here with a win.
That's right. That counts 1 for you.
All right. I like it.
All right. Cincinnati Bengals are a 3.5-point road favorite at the always unpredictable Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, I think that the Raiders are going to be game. I think they're going to be a better team this year. But this isn't the playoffs, so the Bengals will be fine, especially against an inferior opponent. I think they'll do a little bum slaying this week.
Playoffs?
So. Yeah, thank you. So I'm going to take the Bengals here. They can run. They can throw until January. I like the Bengals.
Yeah, I concur. Oakland will not be the team to trip them up. They will trip up along the way, but I don't think the Raiders have what it takes to do that just yet. On to the Monday night doubleheader. Start off early on the East Coast, as always. The Philadelphia Eagles and, of course, their controversial coach Chip Kelly are a 3-point favorite at the rebuilding, should I say, Atlanta Falcons?
I guess that's the word. We'll see. I mean, they have a new head coach, so Dan Quinn steps in to take over just an absolute atrocious defense. And we know about the Eagles, right? Start fast, fade late. I think they're going to squish the Falcons here. I like Philly big.
I like Philly giving 3. I don't like them big at all. This might be a 4-point win or a 5 or 6-point win. But, yes, I concur with your general situation there of they start off fast early in the season before their defense gets all beat up, and I think that'll be enough to beat the Falcons this time. And then the nightcap on Monday night would be the Vikings and the 49ers. Minnesota is actually a 2.5-point favorite at San Francisco.
Weird things always happen in the night in that late Monday night game that nobody watches. This could be the one time I actually take the 49ers all year. I'm taking the 49ers to win. This just feels like one of those games where something really strange just happens.
I concur. This was one of my this is my one crazy pick of the weekend, where I got Colin Kaepernick and Carlos Hyde and the 49ers come out and actually find a way to beat the Minnesota Vikings, because they are possibly going to be really good this year, but maybe not this early. Hey, we got them all.
We did it.
To our VIP after show portion of our program. Good God. What?
Felt like the old days there.
I mean, I was so relaxed and ready to do the show, and I had the day off of work because, of course, I don't work Thursdays, and got all my research done before this game started, the Steelers and the Patriots. So I'm ready. I'm locked and loaded, and I'm just sitting here waiting for the clock to count down. Usually when it's counting down to start the show, I'm scrambling at that point, but I was called in and ready to go. And then you don't show up after 1 minute and after 2 minutes and after 3 minutes, and I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah. And I couldn't even get in on the phone. I called the phone number, and they're like, doo-doo-doo, disconnected. I was like, oh.
Oh.
So then I made sure I had the right phone number because I just have it on, you know, my favorites with the name of the show. So I'm thinking, oh, okay, maybe they changed the number of the show. This is an easy fix. So I hit the little button on my phone so it shows me the actual phone number. I look at the screen, and then it goes from, you know, this is fixable to, oh, fuck. Because not good. So,
well, imagine how I felt. Imagine the torture that I was going through with nobody else on the line thinking that I'm going to have to do this whole show by myself. I really thought that's what was going to happen.
Yeah, and I was trying to hope beyond hope that there was a way that we could, just scrap the show and then just reschedule one for, 10 o'clock, you know, and then just start fresh and do Mike and Cass said, to just delete the show from existence, scrub it from eternity. You know,
it never happened.
It never happened that way. I am happy to see that the Patriots had a Rob Gronkowski touchdown taken off of the board because I'm playing against the team with Gronk in our fantasy league that we're in with the football fan rush radio folks. Yay, sports.
I've been rooting for Gronk all night because I've got him in the money league, of course.
That's right. That was your number one pick.
However, I've been halfway not rooting for him because I had to make the choice of go with Brady opening night or sit him for Cam Newton in our league that we're playing, and I decided to go, we almost got that one. I decided to bench him because I thought the Steelers might give him a little bit of trouble, and I decided to go with Cam Newton.
Okay. So he's only got three touchdowns so far.
Yeah.
Bring it a fourth one here. In a little bit of a little bit of news here, the Steelers are making a game out of this. So we might not we could firmly end this game in push territory.
Yeah, if they hold them to a field goal here at this drive instead of give up this touchdown that they're probably going to give up, then they can come back down
that way.
And there it is. I don't know if there's any linebacker that can cover Gronk out there like that.
I don't know what people are thinking on that.
I mean, there's kind of nothing you can do. I mean, what are you going to do if he lines up inside, and you got a linebacker in there, and then he splits wide like that? You unless you have a defensive back out there ready, but they were in a bear formation on offense. They were looking like they were going to slam it and run, and then he just decided to split him wide. As your personnel kind of dictates what Brady does at that point. Because if they had, if they had the DBs in there, then he would probably just stay in that run formation and run it over the DBs. But since he didn't have them, so they're trying to stop the run, then he just says, okay, you'll split wide, I'll throw it over the top. You can't do anything about it. Kind of sucks.
It's interesting. Yeah, I mean, the Patriots are putting up some points tonight. Not quite the well-oiled machine, but it's also one. And Brady really had no, off-season, preseason to speak of. So far,
that's what makes it scary. This is Brady without much of a preseason.
So far, they're looking all right. And The Steelers have been a little, you can tell they're a little depleted here tonight, although D'Angelo Williams is running the ball well for them. But how long can that go? They need Le'Veon Bell back. So.
Well, he's having a hell of a game, for all things considered. Darius Heyward-Bey is catching everything for the Steelers, which I would have never counted on that.
Yeah.
They're not stopping the Pats at all is the problem.
But let's not forget, too, I mean, this is a 14-point game with, what, 7-8 minutes left to go? In this NFL, that's nothing.
Right. You were talking about a push because they come back and score another touchdown, bring them back to 7 again. I was really hoping for a field goal for the Patriots there on that drive.
Me too. When they stripped the running back there on the goal line, and all the Benny Hill music started playing because all the Steelers players are looking around for the ball and none of them can find it. And then all of a sudden, just Gronkowski comes flashing in from pretty much out of the screen. He found the ball.
Of course. I don't have Yakety Sax queued up here. I don't know if I can legally even use that piece.
But as it goes with this opening day, because it does feel huge, people are going to put way more into this game because it's one game. The rest of the games don't kick off until Sunday. So for the next 3 days, let's say the Patriots go on here and win by a couple touchdowns. Well, guess what? Oh, they're undefeated. They're the Patriots. They're back.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get into the meat and potatoes of a schedule. You have no idea until October, not even that point, what's really going to happen. But we'll make this into way more than it really is because it's like a holiday. This is like number two after the Super Bowl for the NFL now. It's opening night.
Yeah, you'd think the commissioner would be there.
Was there a penalty on the commercial break?
Yeah, there was something.
They called holding on the commercial.
I got the mute on, so I don't know what the flag was for. But, it's such a huge night. You'd think the commissioner would be in attendance, but, of course, he decided to chicken out because of – he's not exactly welcome in Massachusetts these days, I don't believe.
9.5 minutes to go, a 14-point game is nothing.
That's true.
You know, that's a touchdown, a bad bounce, a turnover. I mean, feels like a ton, but really it's just two scores.
I don't have Yakety Sax in our sound bank, but I do have one new added sound since we last did our show. And it's 34 seconds, so hold on to your hats. We're going to go back to Arizona on a Monday night against the Bears.
Oh, boy.
Coach, four picks against Grossman and two fumbles. What did you see about the Bears? We shut them down that way?
No, the Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bullshit? Bullshit. We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Ah, beautiful.
That was great. I remember watching that game. One of the most ridiculous fumble calls you'll ever see for Arizona in that game, where their running back ran into the pile, was stuffed for a good 5 seconds, where most referees will just blow the play dead because the pile hasn't moved for 5 seconds, and then all of a sudden the guy strips the...
Uh-oh. Are you still with us? Hello? Oh, man, if this says he dropped, this is going to suck because it's the after show and he can't get back. Yep, he dropped. Oh, boy. Well, I tell you what, it's incredible that now Blog Talk Radio is giving me the message over and over and over again that we were having an issue with the host line and all that shit. It's almost are we off the air altogether? I think I'm off the air altogether. Oh, hell. Yeah, this is crazy. So Blog Talk Radio's got all these issues tonight. Actually, the after show is still going. It doesn't say on air anymore because the live show is over, so I got confused for a second. Yeah, all sorts of technical issues tonight, as you know, but it's almost a miracle. text message that Jason sent me is a inside joke that refers to one of our favorite cartoons that we used to watch when we were kids. So that's how long we've been friends, in case you are new to the show and don't know our history. That we're best friends since 1982 in first grade. But yeah, Blog Talk hung up on him, just like Butch in the Droopy cartoons. Who was it, Butch? She hung up on me. But it's almost a miracle that we were able to get Jason on the air for the live part, get all his picks in. I got him recorded here. Like I said, I don't feel like dealing with the blog tonight, so I'll put them up sometime this weekend, tomorrow or Saturday, whenever I feel like it. But almost miraculous that he was able to get on with all these issues long enough to do our live show, at least 45 minutes of it, and then how it kicks him back off here in the middle of our after show. But he was on long enough for me to get the Dennis Green sound played for him, so that's good. At least he heard that. I am so frazzled and frustrated with this whole thing tonight that I'm not going to spend too much time here alone on the after show talking about all the stuff that I wanted to get to that's happened in the last few weeks and months out there in the world. The one thing I will get to, because it's easy to remember because it's me, it's personal stories, is to just talk about the worst week I've ever had, and that's covering some ground, which wound up turning into something good happening later on. Something bad from that week actually wound up turning into a positive for me. So this is a few weeks ago. I had a week where it started off with a shoestring breaking, so it started small and moved on to I knocked a picture off the wall here at home by mistake, and when I caught it, I accidentally put my thumb through the glass in the corner, and I did not cut myself or anything, but the frame is broken, the glass is broken, a little small piece of glass is broken off, and I need to replace that frame. Moved on later that week to I decided that I wanted to go out here to Southland Park, which is a dog racetrack. Technically, it's in West Memphis, Arkansas. There's a city in Arkansas called West Memphis because that's how close it is to the city of Memphis where I live. It's so close that you go over the Mississippi, you go over this huge bridge, and you're basically right there. It's no more than like 6, 7, 8 minutes, maybe 10, depending on traffic, from downtown Memphis. It's right over the bridge. And from my home out here in suburban Memphis, it's only about a half-hour drive. And I used to enjoy briefly in my younger days going to the off-track in Chicago, going to the off-track betting sites and betting on horse races taking place all over the country. You can bet parimutuel betting and bet horse races from all over this great country of ours. And I did not go out to Southland Park to bet on the dogs, or the yip-yips, as I like to call them. I went out there to bet on the... Jeez, Rob Gronkowski just keeps making catches. I went out there to bet on the simulcast of the horse races because I enjoy handicapping horse races, even though I'm not very good at it. And I had not done that once since I moved down here to Memphis. And I've been here 4.5 years now. So I went out there and I gave them $120. I had fun. I was there for about 5 hours. I had a baseball game that I was scoring that night. So I went out there. I made a day of it. I went out there like noon, and I bet horses from noon to about 5 o'clock. And like I said, I had fun. I had some winners. I was probably up a little bit for a little while, not a whole lot. And then very slowly as the as the day wore on, just kept losing and losing. And, you know, what I won back was small change, and eventually lost about $120 in cash. But I almost expected it because it had been so long since I bet horses. I almost expected to lose that money when I went in there because it had been so long since I played. So it was disappointing to be up a little bit and lose all my money. But, again, I had fun. And so coming back into the city before my baseball game, I went to go get some fast food. And my plan when I get fast food before a baseball game is to go find a parking spot near the ballpark for free. There's plenty of spaces to park for free in downtown Memphis. You just have to be diligent and find them and get there early. They open the gates for every game at an hour beforehand. So it's a 7 o'clock game. The gates are open at 6. 6 also happens to be the time where the meters cut off downtown Memphis. So there's, you know, dozens of parking spots that get freed up right there at 6 o'clock. So between 5:30 and 6, I'm getting out of the Southland Park. I'm going to get the fast food, and then I'm going to make my way over to the ballpark area and park and eat my dinner in the car before I go to the game. Well, with this dinner, I had a huge, large, extra large, 44-ounce cup of Sprite. And the vehicle that I'm driving is my uncle-in-law's pickup truck, which is, you know, drives just fine, except the cup holders are rather loose. And I know this, and yet I still put it in there just because I wasn't really thinking. I mean, it's very hard to drive with one hand, especially if you're not that experienced driving like I'm not. So I probably wouldn't have done it even if I was thinking about it. I probably would have just put it in the cup holder and tried to drive really careful. But as it was a long day, and I didn't drive very careful after I put it in the cup holder because I wasn't thinking. And I looked down after I hit a bump, and there goes all 44 ounces of my Sprite onto the truck floor on the passenger side. I guess the only way it would have been worse is if it had spilled all on the driver's side, and then I would have been slopping my feet all around in that stuff as I tried to drive. But I was not happy. I let out a loud curse and couldn't believe how bad my week had been, and that was what I thought or hoped was the culmination of a bad week. Well, it wasn't a culmination because 2 days after that, that was a Thursday. On a Saturday, I had another game that I was scoring and actually went to a restaurant after my day job and enjoyed my food a little too much and wound up running much later to get to the ball game than I thought. You know, I sat down and looked up. By the time I looked up, it was already going on 5:30, and I needed to make this 20-minute drive to the ballpark. So I get on the expressway, and somebody in front of me that was also getting on at this entrance ramp was slowing down, and I could not understand for the life of me why this person was slowing down. So I sped up and swerved around him and got into the that opening lane of traffic, that first lane actually on the expressway away from the entrance ramp. I sped up and got around him and got on there faster than if I would have just stayed behind him. It was only after I sped up and swerved around him did I see what he was slowing down for, which was a cop car was right there with the radar gun out. And they got me, and I looked in my mirror and saw that the cop jumped back into the car very quickly and hit his lights and sped up and got right up on my tail. And I was, the feeling that my stomach had, the sinking feeling. I've never had an interaction with the police in my life. All right. I guess I'm Mr. Goody Two Shoes. I've never had a ticket. I've never had a cop come and say, "Move along, you're loitering somewhere." I've never interacted with the police in any way, shape, or form in my entire life. The only time I've had any conversation with them was one time they knocked on my door looking for somebody else that was in my apartment building, and I didn't know who that person was. So that was a very quick conversation. I swear that is the only interaction I've ever had with the cops. And not only that, there's so many like Fast and Furious type drivers out there that are going 70, 80 miles an hour around me every single day. I didn't pull over at first when the cop put his lights on and got behind me, because I was stunned that they were pulling me over for speeding with all these other people out there that drive like crazy people. I'm legitimately surprised that they were pulling me over. He had to do the little whoop with his siren behind me before I finally pulled over. And when the cop got out, it was another weird situation. The fact that it was a white male that was taking the reading with the radar gun and jumped on and drove. And yet when they pulled me over, his partner, who was a black woman, is the one that got out, came up on me, and when I rolled the window down, she said, "I pulled you over for speeding. Can you tell me why you didn't pull over when we first got behind you?" And I said, "Because I didn't know you were after me. I couldn't believe it." And, you know, in retrospect, it's a really shitty, arrogant answer, and I probably shouldn't have said that, but that was my honest answer. I honestly couldn't believe they were pulling me over for speeding with all the other people that I see speeding on a daily basis. Not at that moment. I'm not saying there are necessarily people going way faster than me going around me at that moment that they got me. They got me for speeding. I sped. I understand that. But at the same time, I have to admit, I pulled a bit of a douche move by saying, "Yeah, I didn't pull over because I couldn't believe you guys were pulling me over with all these other people out here speeding." But that's what I did. I honestly didn't pull over when they first pulled me over because I couldn't believe they were actually nailing me, of all people, as unsafe as some of these other drivers out here are, and they were nailing me for speeding. And, yep, that was the end of my horrible, terrible, worst week of my life. I got pinched for a speeding ticket and was late for the game, was already running late. Of course, that didn't help. But, you know, the sometimes whoever my partner is, there's always two people assigned to work these games, unless it's one of those situations where no one else is able to sign up. For instance, weekdays for day games, usually it's just me because I'm the one that has Wednesday and Thursday off as a regular schedule of my day job. So I'm usually the only person out there when it's a Wednesday or Thursday afternoon game. But all other days, all the night games, it's usually two people assigned. So thankfully my partner was there when the game started that I was late for and was able to get the first couple of outs and was able to relay it to me, and I could catch up and not have a situation where I have to go online and look up the box score and the play-by-play there and go off of that and hope that it's okay. The problem with doing that all the time is that they get it wrong a lot on the official scoring, and I mean a lot. There's a lot of times where they say a ball was a fly out to the left fielder when it was actually the right fielder and things of that nature. So I definitely don't want to ever rely on the official scoring, because they definitely mess it up a lot. So I guess it all worked out in the end. And also another way it could have went bad was the spot that I finally chose to park at when I did finally make it to the ballpark was like right on the edge, right in front of a construction line that you're not supposed to park behind it. There's a sign there that clearly says do not park behind this line, and basically my back tires were on that line, so I could have gotten another ticket. I could have gotten a parking ticket, but at that point, honest to God, I didn't give a fuck. I just parked there because I was just tired and didn't give a damn anymore and just needed to get into the stadium as quick as I possibly could. The one thing out of that worked out well for me was that when I went to Southland Park, I signed up for a VIP card because I wanted to get into this area where I was able to bet privately and sit at a table that had its own monitor so I could watch whatever race I wanted and didn't have to rely on the screens above me hopefully showing whatever race that I was trying to look for. And to do that, there was a fee to get in there and do that, but it got erased if you signed up for their VIP card. It was a small fee to have that table, but if you had the VIP card, you didn't have to pay that small fee. Well, they really want people to come back out to Southland Park. They really want you to feel appreciated out there because not only did the manager from Southland Park call me on my phone a few days after my visit out there and say, not only did we like having you out here, and not only did we appreciate having you out here, but hey, by the way, there's a Rob Thomas concert this weekend. Would you like to come and bring a guest and pay nothing? And if I appreciated Rob Thomas's music, I guess, more than I do, which I can take it or leave it, I guess I would have accepted that, but I said no thank you, but very appreciative of the offer. So not only did he do that, but then they also mailed me some sort of free buffet for me and a guest, and I asked my wife, does she want to go out there, thinking she would say no, because that's a long way to drive just for a free buffet, but she was up for it, you know, somewhat surprisingly, so we went out there. Had to go through hell and high water to find where this free buffet was because it wasn't located exactly in a good place. It wasn't located anywhere near where we parked, I guess I should say. But there was a little door raffle. VIP members that accepted this, that when you walked in there, they put your name on a ticket. And I don't think I've ever won one of those contests in my life. All these little, you know, floor prizes and everyone knows a little raffle ticket. You put your name on one and they tear it off and they give you the other half of that so you can have proof of that that's your number. And they got the number printed on both sides. So I'm sitting there eating my free buffet, which was pretty good, you know, B-, C+, I guess. And I hear them call my name. And I knew I won this little door prize thing, but I didn't know what was on the line. I didn't know how much money was out there on the line for winning this. And I get to the desk and I give him the ticket, and he matches it up and he says, yeah, that's the right one. And he shoves some sort of like legal agreement or affidavit or whatever in front of me to sign, which means that it's got to be a pretty decent amount of money if they're going to put something in front of you that you have to sign, some sort of legal release. And that's when I noticed the amount next to my name when he told me to sign it that said $100. And for someone I understand that's not a huge amount of money. For someone that's never won anything in his life, number one, and for someone, number two, that was coming off of that worst week of my life, like I just described, that was, my eyes went wide, like, what? And I signed the thing, and he says, stick out your hand, and I stick out my hand, and he slapped two $50 bills right there in my hand, and I was very happy, I have to admit. That was a great experience to not only get the free buffet, but then to actually get the cash back that I lost to them at the race track a couple weeks ago. To pretty much make that back was pretty sweet. Now, I gave 50 of it back to Southland Park, because I then discovered an Ultimate Texas Hold'em table game. I described that game to you when I talked about my cruise that I took this past summer. They had Ultimate Texas Hold'em at Southland Park, and I sat down and played, and 5 minutes later, I had dropped about $50, and my string of bad luck from Ultimate Texas Hold'em continued. So, what can I say? I know one thing, the next time I go back to Southland, I won't be going to Ultimate Texas Hold'em. I'll be actually going to their poker room and seeing if I can sit down and play some live, actual poker with actual human beings instead of playing against the dealer. Yeah. See if I'll have any more luck doing it that way. I certainly hope I will. I'm going to call it a night. Looks like the Steelers have one more drive in them to try to get back to within 7 and cover this number for me and Jason. There's a big throw down the middle in which his receiver got jacked up and he didn't catch the ball. But we actually never got to discuss on the show or off if we're going to be doing recaps or not this year, because that's a lot of time that we spend getting ready for a recap show. I don't know how much research he does, but I know I have to sit down and watch these games that I tape off of the network and watch as many of those games as I can. Some of them aren't worth watching, but I tape them all anyway. And also the highlight shows. So that's that's a lot of work. That's some more time taken up for us. But we do usually do a show in the middle of the week just to get in our pick live on the air for whatever the Thursday night game happens to be. But if we're not going to do a recap show, then maybe we'll just have the pick up on the blog like we did this week for this Steelers Patriots game. That pick was up as of this morning. Up on our blog site, which if you are forgetting what that is, once again, that is in muchlessdetail.blogspot.com. So if we do it that way, then we won't have a recap show and we'll just have to pick up on the blog. But if we do a recap show, then of course you'll find out because you are subscribed to the show on iTunes, or you're a part of the Blog Talk Radio Network and you're a follower of the show that way. And then any show that that we decide to do, the moment that I create that show, it'll give you a notification. And so you'll know that the show is ready to air live on X night at X time, if we decide to do that. So we'll have to find a way to text and get together. While he's out of town this weekend doing family stuff, we'll have to communicate and figure out what we're going to do as far as our next show goes. So whenever that is, ooh, there's a nice catch. It's going to come back because of a flag. Perhaps. So anyway, thank you for listening to this show. Thank you for listening to me ramble at the beginning and at the end. Send any questions, comments, how we can improve the show, any new ideas for our picks, perhaps. Whatever you want to send, you can communicate that by sending us an email to inmuchlessdetail@gmail.com, or you can send me a tweet at @IMLDDre, or send Jason a tweet at @IMLDJTG. Again, thank you very much for listening, and we will talk to you later.